Tonight's video is about an individual who had just purchased this cabin out in the woods. And while he was unpacking and going through some things that he had found that were left behind in the cabin before he purchased it, he comes across something that no one in their right mind would ever think they would find. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss this. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. I recently bought a cabin in the wilds of North America. It's surrounded by thick forest, and my back garden is a fresh river. While I was cleaning the place and getting it ready to rent out, I found an old DVD that looked very sketchy. A simple Jennifer written on the front made me wonder if it was some homemade porn. I forgot about it for a while, but came across it again last week after unpacking the boxes from the cabin. I sat down to check it out today, and I'm not sure if what I watched is a joke or for real, but I've written a transcript of what was on it, and I'll leave it up to you to make up your own mind. The video starts with a man in a white doctor's coat in a spacious office. My name is Dr. Thomas Declan, and I am a scientist with 43 years experience. I work at the top research facility in the United States of America. I am the head researcher and facility manager for a top secret team of only 30 people who work hard every day to hide the existence of Bigfoot. I've been doing this for only 3 years. I took over from the previous professor when he disappeared without explanation. At least, the facility on the whole is under the impression there is no explanation. In reality, the professor left his position to seek out that which he worked so hard to hide away from the public. He wanted to see Bigfoot with his own eyes before terminal cancer took his life. I like to believe that he did. Let me say, Bigfoot is absolutely real. They exist. I use they because there is most certainly more than one Bigfoot and multiple species who survive in different climates. I could say this because I have seen the real evidence and have worked to make sure it never got out to the world. Can you imagine what would happen if the confirmation that Bigfoot is not only real, but that there are breeding pairs, family units, different species, climate-specific species. Everyone with a gun would be out in the wilds trying to get a new trophy. We cannot let that happen. Bigfoot is overall a dwindling species, a genetic offshoot of sorts, and we aren't too sure if it is 100% natural that made it happen. My team is still researching every aspect. We have theories on the beginnings of Bigfoot. However, as of this moment, none of them can be proven. I digress. The camera comes to black before starting again with the doctor in a lab of some sort. The first photograph of a Bigfoot, Sasquatch in Canada, was taken by Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin. It's known as Frame 352. And is noted as being iconic within the scientific community. The short film that the frame is taken from was filmed in October of 1967, and it was quickly regarded as definitive proof of Sasquatch. The original short film is stored in the archives at my place of work and has been studied expertly for over 50 years. A team of the original researchers in the program were sent out to track down the creature and prove its existence. The expedition was out of contact for nearly 7 months, and when they returned, they recounted stories of what they had seen. Dr. Thomas Declan presses a button on a remote, and a large projector screen flashes up with a video. Audio is spotty but audible. Eyewitness account by Dr. Christopher Blank. Statement taken by Blank on the 14th of May, 1968. The recording begins. Look, I won't lie. We all had thought this was a fool's mission. At most, we expected some primate that had gone undiscovered. Dr. Sarah Blank was the first of us to see something. She set up a trail camera, and we all worked in shifts to take nights and keep our eyes around for anything creeping out. We had gone to the exact area the two men had taken the film, and had set up a camp facing the same direction. Dr. Sarah was on the first night watch, and that first night, she woke up her tent mate Dr. Lauren at around 2:45 a.m., when she had seen movement. We had night vision equipment supplied by Blank, and were under strict instructions on how to properly use it. Sergeant Blank was a hard-ass about the whole thing. Dr. Sarah wrote a description of what she saw and told the rest of us the next day. Dr. Lauren was using night vision binoculars and corroborated the description that was given. Dr. Christopher is reminded at this point that they only need his own eyewitness account and not hearsay as to what the other members of the team witnessed. I know. I was setting the tone that we saw things from the start. I was on watch again during night 18, and we had moved our camp a little bit better to get hidden under the trees. We wondered if the activity was low because we could be seen. I sat in the doorway of the tent, using the night vision binoculars and taking notes. I remember it was just getting light, and it had been relatively quiet. Lots of breaking branches and rustling, but no sightings. I don't know the time because in my excitement, I forgot to check. With the light just coming up, the binoculars worked better and I got a clear sight of it. A male voice asks a question. Of what? Bigfoot, Professor. I saw a female Bigfoot. How could you tell it was female? The bean had prominent breasts, and the other one had, well, he was obviously male. I woke my tentmate, the civilian researcher Marcus, and asked him to verify my sighting, which he did. The recording ends. During the rest of the reports for the expedition, they continued to see multiple Sasquatches, including some quoted child size, unquote, beans, and a theory begins that this is a family unit. One of the newer researchers, a psychologist and behavioral specialist Dr. Lauren, mentioned in the statement, decided to take it upon themselves to sneak out of the camp and follow as closely as possible to one of the Sasquatches back to its home. Dr. Lauren was never seen or heard from again, and was reported as missing, presumed dead. The video again cuts to black before returning to the original office setting. The original team working on the information returned to the facility, and made sure that the official statements given out to everything had been reported, as well as giving their lightly professional opinion that the whole thing was a hoax. Most of the public believed the statement, but there will always be those who don't. It's not just photographs and film we have worked with, although they are the most interesting in themselves, as none of the media is clear. We have established through our research that Bigfoot can emit a frequency that interferes with photographic and recording equipment, almost an inaudible self-defense mechanism, which leads us to theorize that Bigfoot knows how dangerous it would be to them if clear media was produced to the wide world. This is part of why we believe that nature itself is not 100% responsible for the creation of Bigfoot. Again, I disagree. Dr. Thomas DeClan shifts in his seat and is clearly thinking about his next words. We at the facility have received multiple items that were reported to be from Bigfoot. Various fur and hair samples, nail clippings, liquids ranging from blood to semen, and even an entire finger. While many of the samples had absolutely nothing to do with Bigfoot, and were likely just fame hunters trying to cash in, we have received a number of samples which we concluded were from Bigfoot. To understand how we know they are from Bigfoot, I must first explain that one of the teams many years before myself at another site, linked to our facility, did in fact carry out an autopsy on a Bigfoot. While on the expedition at the northern site close to the original, a team of scientists and military came across a lone Bigfoot. After 4 days observing it, it was determined that the creature was old in age. Two of the scientists made contact with the creature and were moved to tears as he peacefully passed away. That's what their reports say at any rate. It was determined the best course of action was to bring it back to a facility where it couldn't be stumbled upon by a well-meaning hiker or trophy-collecting hunter. Again, keeping its existence from the general public is always of the highest importance. The report is over 85 pages long in total, and is ridiculously in-depth, describing even the most seemingly mundane observations. The creature was labeled as male specimen A, and using teeth and hair samples was determined to be over 112 years old. His DNA was logged and sequenced over the course of years. His hair and fur from various parts of his body were sampled, and experiments carried out. Male specimen A was a total of 289.56 centimeters in height. That's 9 feet 6 inches. His feet were damaged due to what was assumed to be injury and possibly hierarchical in fighting, however. They were measured at 45.72 centimeters, which is 18 inches. Once we had taken all samples that were needed from male specimen A, he was cremated and his ashes are kept in our archive. With every sample we are sent from Joe Public, we have to make an official report for our records. Only then and there is another that is put out to the public. We mark fur and hair samples as anything from polar bears to chimpanzees to deer, depending on where the sample is sent from. These true samples are kept in our archives and marked for easy cross-referencing for the future. How do we get away with not returning them? Simple. Once marked as false in the public statement, they have no monetary value, therefore we simply explain to them that they will be destroyed. Of course, every now and again we have to send out an inconclusive result which keeps people interested. We tell the sender that the sample will be tested further to determine its source, and then we request more information on where it was found. This keeps Joe Public interested in Bigfoot, and makes sure that we keep getting samples. For every 5 negative samples we receive, at least 1 is positive. We have a compensation budget which is used to reward these people who, no doubt, tell everyone that they were the one to find proof of Bigfoot. They become minor celebrities to their small towns. And then as soon as the people get bored of hearing the same story every Friday and Saturday night, the whole process starts again. The samples we receive have proven without a doubt that there are multiple species of Bigfoot. Cold climates, arid climates, tropical climates. It had also helped us go to prove on that Bigfoot has multiple family units, who every 5 to 7 years switch partners to keep their gene pool varied and inbreeding to a minimum. There's a loud knock at the door, and the video cuts to black before returning with a very disheveled-looking Dr. Thomas DeClan speaking excitedly. My team is working on expanding the theory right now, and the information we just received from one of our outpost teams is astounding. That was who came to my office. Nature has, of course, had a helping hand in Bigfoot surviving as long as they have, but our theory, my theory, that it hasn't been completely natural has turned out to be true. They found new evidence that the human race has also been giving a helping hand to Bigfoot. Not only have humans been witnessing entering and exiting multiple known Bigfoot lairs with medical equipment, but also unconscious men and women. My direct boss has told me to leave this alone, that it won't go anywhere because there is no video or photographic evidence of its happening. But I trust the scientists at the outpost. I trust their word, and they have no reason to lie about something we could prove. I contacted a Dr. Benjamin who understands my frustrations, and has said they could get me to the outpost with minimal issue. The video changes to a cabin scene with minimal lighting. Dr. Thomas DeClan is shivering as he speaks. I'm paying him $5,000 and I have to leave behind any identification. I have to leave behind any identifying objects and take only my phone without its SIM card, so I cannot be tracked and followed. I'm at the cabin now, and awaiting my meeting with Dr. Benjamin. I'm not stupid. I know how this sounds, and I agree. That's why I'm leaving this here for you to find, Jennifer. I want there to be a trail of sorts for you only. I know I can trust you with this information, and I know you will understand. If I don't come back, I am either dead or gone, or I am carrying out what I consider my duty to help Bigfoot continue existing. I know there will be more people like me to continue my work. And please, don't be sad. The video ends.